I want us to look at this passage of Scripture tonight and just a few thoughts. I'm not going to keep you overly long tonight. But, you know, we probably, since we have a pastor like Pastor Morange here, some of you have traveled to foreign countries. And, you know, a lot of times we go in and we'll be in a church service, and I'm sure he experienced that tonight, that though we were singing in a different language that was not known to him, the tune was familiar. I've had that happen many times. And I've had people say to me who didn't speak the language where we were, say, I recognize that tune. And sometimes we're familiar with that. And a lot of times we think that that is kind of a oneness or a unity that we have with other Christians around the world. And in one sense it can be, but really that's more of a unity of customs. And sometimes that can become legalistic because they say, well, we hope they sing the same hymns we sing and they have the same type of worship that we have, and we hope that they would be wearing the same clothing styles that we have and meet in the same kind of buildings. If you were meeting with Pastor Morange in his church tonight, as you've heard him describe, he's for the last few years since we got this land, they've been meeting under a big yellow and white tent canvas. And you can see it, if you could see it tonight, you'd see it sewn together in many, many different places and patched together. But every week, hundreds of people come out there to worship under that tent. It's a different thing than we have here. We have another church just starting over there. He's been sending me buildings. They also found a tent to use and put up some metal, sheet metal on the sides. And all of that is great, but that's not the unity that's being spoken of here, I believe, in the Scripture. Because the unity that's mentioned here in verse number 3, where it says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, it says, there is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. I think what we need to understand that our unity is by the most real of all bonds, and that is the spiritual bond that we have through Jesus Christ. If we are saved like they are saved, then we're all members of that one body. We may be in different churches, and I believe in a local church, just like Beacon Baptist Church here, and just like Patmos Baptist Church there. But the unity that we have is that we are united by one body, by one common head, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul, in his mission work, and as he worked with the new believers and in the new churches that he was planted, he wasn't going about from place to place as he traveled into Macedonia and went to Philippi and went to Thessalonica and these other cities. He was not going around trying to create unity and say, well, I really want this church here to be like the church in Damascus or to be like the church in Jerusalem. He wasn't trying to get the Ephesian church like the church of the Thessalonican church or the Philippian church. But he wasn't trying to get them to be united in custom because there already was unity. And what I want you to understand tonight is that there is unity in our missionary effort. And there's unity. We have unity with Pastor Morange and his church there and the other churches that we work with. There was already unity. When these believers trust Christ, that unity already existed. They were in Christ. Those that were in Macedonia were united to the same head as those believers in Jerusalem. And certainly we're united with our brothers and sisters in Haiti. We're united with those who are in Guatemala and other places around the world because we are one in Jesus Christ. And we're all equal parts of a whole that is growing up into one head. Ephesians 4:16 says, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." And so we're all equal parts. I want to say that again. We are all equal parts. Patmos Baptist Church, our Spanish church, is in Guatemala, the other churches there in Haiti that are preaching the Word of God. We're all equal parts of a whole that is growing up into growing up together in unity in one. We're not better than they are, and they're not better than we are because of their locations and their situations. If we're in Christ, and if they are in Christ, then we are one, and that's where the unity is. So why is this issue of unity and missions important for us tonight? Why would I take my time to address that? Why is this unity important? Now, I want to say this, because I believe that there is an urgency that's connected with this unity. Paul writes repeatedly, warning about divisions and schisms in the different churches. In fact, one of the most often repeated warnings that he gives in his epistles was their warnings about division. In Romans 16:17, he said, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine that you've learned, and avoid them." He spoke in 1 Corinthians 3:3, he said, "You're yet carnal, because there's among you envying and strife and divisions. Are ye not carnal and walk as men?" It sounds to me like the Apostle Paul was very interested in this unity that he was writing about in Ephesians. It seems to be a theme that he is coming back to over and over again. He wanted them to have this understanding of unity, that we are one, that we are united in Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter if we're in a poor part of the world. It doesn't matter if we have different clothes, if we speak a different language, if our buildings look different or what have you. We're one in Christ. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 11:18, talking about the communion, the Lord's Supper, he said, "I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe that." Over and over and over again, he wanted to pound this note out about the need for unity that was to be among all the churches. I think it's interesting that as he traveled around to the different places, he wasn't trying to make those churches be just like the church in Jerusalem. In fact, they were very different. And in fact, in the provinces of Galatia, when some of the believers went there and tried to get them to do some of the same things the church in Galatia or in Jerusalem was doing, Paul said, "I withstood Peter to his face," and told him, "No, we're not going to do that." Now, why was that? Because they were already united in Christ. They were one in Christ. And so I believe that we have an urgent responsibility that requires our participation in this unity. Paul wrote to the Philippians in chapter 1 and verse 3, he said, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day unto now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ." Paul wanted his churches to recognize that we have a threefold responsibility that is mandated by the teaching of the Scripture on our oneness with Christ, but also urgent because of the effects of division, where we think that, you know, one church is maybe less important than another. And so what are these things? Well, first of all, our first responsibility is to continually send those who will extend the decisive saving activity of God to all the world. That's our missions. God has given us a commission, and I believe we all recognize that. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things." So we have this commission that we're sent to go. We are to go into all the world, involved in this saving activity of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, you know, I've just had an interesting time working with our Spanish pastors and trying to help them sometimes not be so discouraged when they preach and they don't see all the results that they would like to see. And I always have to remind them, listen, it's impossible for people to believe the gospel without God. If God's not involved in our work, then they're not going to believe. In fact, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the preaching of the cross to them who are lost is foolishness. They look at it and say, "You guys are crazy. You're loco. You're not thinking right." But he said, "Unto us who believe, it is the power and the wisdom of God." And so really the gospel, the message that we preach, the message that goes out with our missionaries and with our mission endeavor is really a kind of a scandalous gospel, an unbelievable gospel that only through, backed up by prayer and by believing, will people accept that word that's given out. And so we are supposed to continually send agents or missionaries to extend the saving activity of God in all the world through the preaching of the gospel. And then secondly, we're to continually encourage the examination of our brothers and sisters concerning their fellowship in the faith. This was something that was often taught by the Apostle Paul in his writings. He wrote in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 15, he says, "Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." He said something very similar in the book of Philippians and chapter 1. He said, "For your fellowship," we just read that, "in the gospel from the first day until now." And then he said something like that in Colossians in chapter 1 and verse number 8. He talks about this faith that he could see in them and this love that was in them. And he said in 1 Thessalonians 1:3, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father." In the second epistle to the Thessalonians, he wrote, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all abound each toward one another." And you know, this is something that we're responsible for. This is something that I look for as I go visiting with Pastor Morange and Pastor Felbert that he mentioned, and Pastor St. Jealous and other pastors there. I'm looking to see and examine their participation or their fellowship in the gospel, to see if I can recognize that faith that we know is taught in the scriptures, that they're believing in the one God, in the one baptism, in the one faith. I'm trying to examine that and to see if that's there. Our other missionaries do the same thing, to make sure that they are continuing in the faith. I like what Jude wrote in verse number 3. He said, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And so we have a responsibility not only to send agents to extend the gospel message by way of the Great Commission, but we have a responsibility to encourage our brothers and sisters in this unity that we're talking about. We have a responsibility to encourage them to faithfulness to the faith. Don't leave the faith. Don't leave the faith. Don't leave the faith. I think that was a very frequent theme and work of the Apostle Paul. That's why to each of these churches he would write and he'd say, I saw your faith and I saw your love. I saw your faith. I saw your charity. I saw your faith. I saw your charity. And he would go and see and he would get reports back about all of that and how important that is when we are one in Christ, when there's that unity. We've got to be continually going. And Pastor Morens knows this, that every time I'm there in his church, I also preach about starting new churches. That's why we're starting a new church. We'll be kicking off a new church this summer there. We're continually working at the planting of new churches. We've got a couple of new churches starting in Guatemala. We're continually working at that with our men because that's the important thing to do. But then to make sure that they are continuing in the faith that was once for all delivered. Because we're one in Christ. We're united to that one head. But there's one other thought. I said there was a threefold responsibility. The first, extending our ministry with the Great Commission. Second, examining these believers concerning their faith and their love. But thirdly, I think it's important that we go to prove the sincerity of their love. To prove by our action that true biblical charity exists that we read about in the Scriptures. Now, I'm sure you're aware of it. I'm sure it's preached here frequently. But Paul spent a great deal of time raising awareness of the conditions of people in other places. You know, it's very easy living here in Palm Beach County or Martin County where I live. You know, it's up in the poor section. But it's very easy to forget about people who live on $1 or $2 a day in other parts of the world. Paul spent a lot of time raising awareness of poverty, of suffering, of the needs of others. And I think just as important in our quest and in our search for this unity in the oneness of Jesus Christ, we have a responsibility to those who are less fortunate than ourselves. You say, why do you say that, Brother Ron? Well, let me just put it like this. Our head, Jesus Christ, was incarnated as one who was poor. Born, not in a palace, not in a capital city, not in a nice hospital, not in a nice home, but born in a stable and laid in a manger. And lived among the poor to the point that he could say to those who wanted to follow him, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not a place to lay his head. And he lived among the poor and he gave them the promise of the kingdom. In fact, when he inaugurated his gospel ministry, found in the Gospels, and especially in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, his message was this: the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He said, I came to preach to the poor. He came as someone who was poor. He wasn't ashamed of that. He didn't get away from that. He continued in that, and he ministered among those. And my question to you tonight is, can we do any less than our head? I mean, we're to be united in the oneness of Christ. We are one in Christ. We are one with those believers who live in the tent cities that are still trying to come out of in Haiti after that earthquake in 2010. Can we do any less to those who can't find clean water to drink, who will go to bed hungry tonight? And we know our gospel message is of utmost importance. And you heard Pastor Morin say the most important thing we have is to give these children the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But can we forget that other part of our responsibility, and that is to prove our love among them? You know, it's easy for us to have cliques and class divisions, even within our own churches sometimes, based on incomes or our background. Oh, well, where did you come from, or where do you live? But how do we feel about those people who live in a world where they may live off of $1 a day or less, because a good percentage of the world, the majority of the world, lives like that? And I think we have a responsibility. So let's review as I close this evening. We have this threefold mandated urgency to participate in the unity of missions. Not just to make sure that Pastor Morange and the others sing the same kind of songs that we sing to the same tunes. Not just to make sure that those who don't wear the same kind of clothes we have or cover their bodies like we may have good clothes to wear. There's nothing wrong with that, to make sure they have clothing. Not just to make sure that we send food and help and do these different things, but we have an urgency to preach the gospel to them. We're united with them. Though they are different, we are one with them. Though they speak another language, we are one with them. We have one head, Jesus Christ. Our urgency is to preach the gospel and extend the gospel to every place we can, and to strengthen those in the faith, and thirdly, to prove the sincerity of our love. Agents are needed for this. And I hope you don't mind me using that word agents. I just mean servants of God are needed for this. Paul wrote in Romans 10:13, a great verse we love, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I love that verse, because that means that whosoever, whether they be in Haiti or Guatemala or Cuba or Africa or Asia, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But he followed that up with this question in verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? It requires going and giving and praying. We need zealous goers. People are excited about going and carrying the message, doing the work. But we also need zealous senders. People are excited about giving and paying the way and helping the gospel to go. Someone has said you're either a zealous goer, a zealous sender, or you're disobedient. My question tonight in closing, are you a part of this or not? Are you united in this cause of missions? Are you one in Christ? And my prayer is that we would be fully committed in this. Could we stand to our feet, please? Just a moment, Brother Terry is going to come for our closing hymn. Let's pray and ask God to speak to our hearts. And let this question be resounding in us. What part do we have to prove our unity in the gospel? What part? to prove that we are connected to the same head that these in far-off places. Father, thank you for teaching us in your word. Thank you for being our head. Help us to grow up into you, to be that perfect man, the fullness of the stature of Christ. Help us, Lord, that we would be united in that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.